This is Optimal Finance Daily, episode 2090, How I Rebalanced Through Perilous Times, by Craig Stevens of CanIRetireYet.com. And I'm your host and personal finance enthusiast, Diana Merriam. Now let's get to today's post as we optimize your life. How I Rebalanced Through Perilous Times, by Craig Stevens of CanIRetireYet.com. Quote, benign neglect, bordering on sloth, remains the hallmark of our investment process. Warren Buffett. To rebalance or not to rebalance? When? How? We've reviewed the sometimes conflicting and arbitrary advice of a number of experts. We've found a vague consensus in favor of rebalancing, but we've also seen studies by respected voices questioning whether rebalancing adds enough value to bother. Now I'd like to show you my own personal rules for rebalancing. They don't require any tricky calculations, careful scheduling, or complex transactions. When in doubt, they prescribe simplicity or doing nothing over complexity or active management. What they may lack in precision or certainty, they make up for in safety and ease of use. These are the same rules I use to grow my portfolio and retire at age 50 with security and confidence. Let's take a look. Number one, don't rebalance more frequently than annually and consider waiting several years. Consider never rebalancing in your taxable accounts. Research points to an ideal rebalancing interval of several years, if at all. By thinking in terms of those longer timeframes, you remove some risk that you'll act emotionally in response to shorter-term market movements. Of course, you still must choose the exact moment to rebalance, so that's a decision that will always be subject to emotion. So if you decide never to rebalance, it's good to know that there's ample evidence and authority to be confident about inaction, especially in taxable accounts. Number two, don't worry about small changes in your asset allocation, where small means at least 10% and possibly even more in your overall allocation. Some of the most seasoned and respected experts recommend rebalancing only after very large changes in value or not at all. So there's no hurry. Be especially cautious about rebalancing in response to short-term market movements or during times of high volatility. You may find yourself rebalancing again before long, racking up more transaction costs and taxable gains in the process. Number three. Do most of your rebalancing during the course of adding new money, taking withdrawals, or reinvesting distributions by buying laggards or selling winners. Leveraging the natural inflows and outflows of your accounts, rather than explicitly buying and selling shares, saves you from several investing pitfalls, including trying to time the market, incurring additional expenses, and generating taxable gains. Buy low, sell high. In my personal experience, the savvy investing behavior that is easiest to adopt is buying what's cheap as new money becomes available for you to invest over time. It tends to be easier and more reliable to identify and buy what's clearly on sale now than it is to predict if and when it's time to sell your winners. Number four, but when an investment, especially an individual stock, sector, or asset class, has delivered 2 to 3 years of double-digit returns, expect it will revert to the mean or beyond and sell some if you want. It's an unfortunate fact of investing that for all but the simplest of portfolios, you must remain alert to bubbles, whether they be dot-com, real estate, commodities, or something else. Don't completely ignore volatile asset classes for years at a time, or assume that 20% returns in one investment will go on forever. They won't. My biggest investing mistakes were not selling hugely successful and overweighted positions, which later reverted to more average values. I would have done much better if I had the humility to sell when I was way ahead. But I live to tell the tale, and so will you, if you don't fall into the trap of throwing more money at those positions late in the game. And number five, as with choosing your individual investment holdings, consider diversifying your rebalancing strategies, the when, the how, and the if. Don't rebalance all at once. It's not possible to pick the optimal date for rebalancing, so spread out the risk. Rebalance in modest chunks spread over longer time intervals. Consider owning some investments that rebalance automatically on their own schedule. This is one area I see value in some professional management, ideally a low-cost balanced fund that automatically rebalances to some target asset allocation on a regular basis. A professional manager guided by a clear asset allocation strategy, such as 60% to 65% of assets in common stocks and 35% to 40% of assets in investment-grade bonds, goes to work every day to monitor and implement that strategy in the most cost-effective way possible. Just be certain that the expenses charged for this service are razor thin, as they should be. It's a valuable service, but it's not active management. Even though I've managed a large portfolio for years, investing is not my full-time job, nor even my main interest. I simply don't expect to find the perfect rebalancing formula across my entire portfolio on a continuous basis over the long haul. That's why Vanguard Wellesley Income, a conservative balanced fund, has been my largest holding for years. If I had to do it over now, I might choose Vanguard's Balanced Index Fund or Life Strategy Moderate Growth Fund instead, both passively managed. It's well worth the small fee that Vanguard charges, 0.18% in my case, to hire a full-time manager to implement a consistent rebalancing policy as part of my overall rebalancing effort. In conclusion, assuming you began with a diversified portfolio, don't fear inaction. You'll sidestep a number of potential investing blunders that way. The majority of my own rebalancing strategy, as recommended by experts, including the legendary Warren Buffett, is characterized by benign neglect bordering on sloth. You just listened to the post titled, How I Rebalanced Through Perilous Times by Craig Stevens of CanIRetireYet.com.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, the bad news. Mint is shutting down. And now, the good news. There's a better alternative. Our sponsor, Monarch Money. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Maybe you're saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation, your kids' college. I've found that Monarch makes it easy to help you reach your financial goals, whatever they are. I definitely wouldn't be able to allocate my finances or plan as clearly without help from Monarch. In fact, Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. That's monarchmoney.com/OFD for your extended 30-day free trial.
I thought Craig offered some great thoughts here on rebalancing, which is basically the way you maintain your asset allocation. I find many people ask more about which specific investments they should choose versus which asset allocation is right for them. But especially if we're investing in index funds, what really matters is our portfolio allocation mix of types of investments like stocks, bonds, and REITs. The reason is because all reasonably well-diversified 100% equity portfolios are going to perform at least 90% the same. Likewise, all reasonably well-diversified 80-20 or 60-40 stock-to-bond portfolios are going to perform at least 90% the same. From my perspective, the purpose of having bonds in a portfolio is to smooth the ride of volatility of the stock market. This is super important as you get closer to tapping into your portfolio. You don't want the value of your portfolio to be highly volatile when you're drawing down from it. But if you don't plan to touch that money for more than 10 to 15 years, it seems to me that smoothing volatility is more about the emotional benefit of not watching wild swings with your money. For me, I've solved for this by keeping a strong cash position and not watching my investments too closely. Because I have a 100% stock portfolio, I don't need to rebalance, so I have even less of a need to look at it. If you're interested in hearing more about the benefits of an all-stock portfolio, check out episode 1700 titled Why I Own 100% US Stocks by A Purple Life. And that will do it for another edition of Optimal Finance Daily. Have a great day. Thank you for listening. And I'll be back in just a sec with our weekly bonus episode. So I'll see you there where your optimal life awaits.